Parshas Achrei Mos Kedoshim. And the Eid Hashem try and discuss an inyan of Achrei Mos, an inyan of Parshas Kedoshim, and we'll see in the middle, Mitzvah Hashem, there is a very important point of contact, I think, between Parshas Achrei Mos and Kedoshim. In Parak Yud Ches, Pasuk Gimel, Torah says as follows. K'maisei Eretz Mitzrayim, asher yeshavtem bo. The land of Mitzrayim in which you were dwelling, you were enslaved. K'maisei Eretz Mitzrayim, their type of behavior, their maisim, lo yisasu, do not do. So too, k'maisei Eretz Kanaan, asher ani mevi eschem shomo, also lo yisasu. Do not go in their statutes, neither in the ways of Mitzrayim from where you came, nor in the ways of Canaan to where you're heading. Don't go in their ways. So Rashi immediately points out that, one second, what exactly is the Torah referring to over here? What must we not do? Now, clearly the Torah is not referring to something which is awesome, which is an aveira, because then it's been told to us already. If the Torah means, don't eat chazir, like they do in Canaan, and I don't need a separate leisah, say to tell me that, you've already told me, don't eat chazir. So clearly, the Torah is referring, must be, to something which is essentially mutar, and yet nonetheless don't do it, because it's b'chukai seyin, because it's the ways of the goyim. So specifically, Rashi says to go in tartiyos, ba'atzidiyos, their theatres and their stadiums. Clearly being involved in activities which are not osa as it were, because you're doing a pu'ula, you're doing an act which is essentially osa, but it's just goyish. B'chukaseyim lo se leichus. Remember, I once heard from a rov in America, actually originally from England, of Ehrenreich. He said that somebody came to him, one of the youth of his shul, and told the Rav that they went to a concert, and he described the concert, and it, by all accounts, didn't quite conform to the standards that we'd expect from a frum kehila. So the Rav said, you know, it's pastnish. I don't know how you translate as pastnish into English, because probably in England there's nothing which is pastnish. It's not appropriate, it's not befitting, it's unbecoming. So he says to the Rav, no, you don't understand what a tremendous Kiddush Hashem this concert was. Kiddush Hashem? He said, I've been to non-Jewish concerts, and everybody there, they're just all on drugs, and they're all throwing bottles around, and I didn't see any of that in this concert. It was all Jews. So the Rav said, no, so that's what we've become. A non-drug-taking, non-bottle-throwing nation of concert-goers. Yeah. That's the big Kiddush Hashem. That we don't take drugs, and we don't throw bottles when we go to concerts. You know, Kiddush Hashem, that's a Kiddush Hashem. The Sfas Emet on this pasuk, he wonders, and he says, one second, we're talking about the Dor Deo. Spiritually, this is the most lofty of all generations that ever was, the Dor Deo. And you're telling them, don't be like the Goyim. They need to be told, you mustn't be like the Goyim. He says, Apirush, Shaloi Yenidme. There should be no point of contact. There should be no similarity. The Shum Maisa Ish HaYisrael. That's the Kiddush over here. When we say don't be like the Goyim, that means you should be distinct from them in every single way. In every facet of your life, there should be a clear demarcation between Jew and non-Jew. Don't be like them in any way whatsoever. B'nei Yisrael, Torah Kadesh Kol Maaseihem, etc., etc. In other words, like we mentioned, we're not talking about Dvorim Hu Asurim. We're talking about Dvorim Hamutarim. But if they are non-Jewish in their way, then that's mamela not appropriate for you. And now that therefore becomes an issur d'oraisa, because kisei moisei l'issur. Which brings us to a very, very important point. You know, sometimes I'm asked questions about a certain mode of behavior, a mode of dress, whatever it is, and they say, is it mutter? So I try and pull a face at it. What, in Shulchan Aruch it says it's asr? I said, no, it doesn't say anywhere in Shulchan Aruch it's asr. Oh, so it's mutter. I said, no, I didn't say it's mutter. In Shulchan Aruch it doesn't say it's asr. A person can live his life by the strict letter of the law, not do anything wrong, as it were. It's not even any thief in Shulchan Aruch. That's what the Torah wants from you, however. Is that the way the Torah wants you to live your life? They always used to tell us, as kids, don't walk around, especially not in shul, with your hands in your pockets. Why? Where does it say it's asr? I don't know, we always used to hear, because Esav used to walk around with his hands in his pockets. Where does it say? Because it says, Vayelech Esav, and Esav went. How do you think he went? He probably went with his hands in his pockets. Where does it say it's asr? It doesn't say it's asr. But if that's not considered a mode of behavior that's becoming, that's befitting a ben Torah, then the meal becomes asr. Yeah, where does it say? You're right, it doesn't say. It doesn't say. Kiyadua, famous meister with the Chofetz Chaim, just me'inyan le'inyan, it's not exactly the point that we're demonstrating. I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was with regards to constricting Jewish girls into the army. Chofetz Chaim Kiyadua came out, fire and brimstone against Chofetz Yahweh, it says, Yehorik Val Yahweh. In this country, obviously, then became with the Chazon Ish. They sent a delegation to the Chofetz Chaim. We heard, the Chofetz Chaim said to send a Jewish girl into the Russian army is Yehoreg Ba'al Yavar. Chofetz Chaim said, yes, indeed, that's what I passed him. Where did it say it? They asked him. He opened his jacket, he unbuttoned his shirt, and he pointed to his heart and said, here, it says it here. And argue with the leiv of the Chofetz Chaim. It says it here. Which Sifim Shorach does it say, thou shalt not, I don't know, it says over here, it's pastnish for a Jewish girl. In fact, it's so asr, it's Yehoreg Ba'al Yavar. Chofetz Chaim says, the leiv of the Chofetz Chaim says it's asr. And this brings us directly to Parshas Kedoshim. Because in the very first words of Parshas Kedoshim, it says, Kedoshim to you. What does that mean, Kedoshim to you? Be holy. That's very abstract. Rashi has his pirush. The Ramban coins his famous phrase. It's possible to be a novel. What's a novel? Like the word novella. It's possible to be despicable. Birshus HaTorah. It's possible to live a life of a novel. Birshus HaTorah. I did nothing wrong. It's true. Did you do anything right? Did you live the way, did you live the life the way that the Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to live? Kedoshim to you, he argues with Rashi, Rashi has a different pirush, Purushim. The Ramban says it's possible to live a life of novel Birshus HaTorah. Now you'll excuse me, I know this is being recorded. In my old days, back in the day, where there used to be, we used to follow sports, follow cricket. A gentleman's game. So there's once a big shtickle tale there that there was a certain mode of behavior. It was very controversial whether. Then somebody said, you know what? It's within the letter of the law of cricket, but it's not within the spirit of the law of cricket. La'avdil elef alfei havdalos, we can live a life where we're within the letter of the law. But are we within the spirit of the law? Is that what the Torah wants you? Is that what the Torah wants you to do? Just last night, somebody called me and said, listen, I have a kettle, do I have to table it? I said, yes. They described what it's made out of, I said, yeah, you have to table it. He says, whatever, I'm worried it's going to be ruined. I said, if it gets ruined, I'll pay you for a new one. Money back guarantee. yeah, but whatever, it's a schlep. I can't be bothered to... bothered is not, as far as I know, can't be bothered is not a heter. He says, I heard that there's a heter, that if you pull it apart and you reassemble it, then maybe you're possible from Tzvilas Kelim. Because if you pull it apart, if you assemble it, then it means it's been constructed by a Jew. Would I be potter from Tzvilas Kelim then? What should I say? No, can't say no. Yes, you would be potter. That's what the Torah wants you to do. I said to him, you know, the Gemara tells us that in the early generations, they used to deliberately bring all the produce from the field through the front door. Why? Because the Torah says you're only mukhiyah to take trumas and maestros from that food which is roya pnei habay, which comes through the front door. In theory, if you bring in the Torah through your window, you're not mukhiyah to take trumas and maestros. Says the Gemara, loy doireis ha'achrayinim k'moy doireis ha'rishayinim. The later generations, they bought tzvua through the window, through the roof, all through, not through the door. Why? Possibly from Trumas and Maestros. Now, did they do anything wrong? No. But did they do something right? That's what the Torah wants from you. Look for a legal loophole that I'm not now mechuyah to take Trumas and Maestros, and no, I got the better of the Torah. What? I'm mechuyah to take Trumas? No, you're stuck a potter. That's what the Torah wants you to do. I wasn't over in Sefer Shulchan Aruch. That's true. It's possible to live a life of, did I do anything wrong? That's called a novel Bereshus HaTorah. You know, Bilam is told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you want, you can go and curse Klal Yisrael. So the Torah says, the messengers come back to Bilam and they say, no, you're coming. So Bilam says, Loi uchal, I am unable, la'avoir, now listen to the words, I'm not able to transgress es pi Hashem, the pair of Hashem. Next thing you know, he goes. So Rechonon Vassman, Chayna Lebracha, says, Bilam was very careful in his wording over here. Says Rechonon, this is the way he words it so beautifully, there is the pair of Hashem, and there is the Rotzein of Hashem. Did HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by the strict words that he used to Bilam, did he say that he can go? He said he can go. Bilam, does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want you to go and curse out his nation? Do me a favor. What does Bilam say? I couldn't care less what the Rotzein of Hashem is. Loi uchalavoir es pi Hashem. I can't transgress the wording of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the real, true desire of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, couldn't care less. Couldn't care less. That's a novel, Bereshus HaTorah. Did he do anything wrong? Did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, you shall not go? He never said that. To the contrary, he said, if you want, you can go. Oh, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. Shkech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to go. That's the Rotzon of Hashem. That's the spirit of the law. I'm only interested in the letter of the law. No, then you're a novel, Bereshus HaTorah. And that's what the Torah is telling us. K'maisei Eretz Mitzrayim, don't act in the ways of the goyim. I didn't do anything wrong. That's the way you want to live your life. A novel Bereshus HaTorah. Whatever I did, it wasn't by the strict letter of the law. Lo uchalav eretz pi Hashem. But is that the rotzen of Hashem to live the life of a goy? There is a very famous tshuva. The Noda Yehuda was asked 200 years ago about going fox hunting. Can I go hunting? So the Noda Yehuda, famously, the person who writes the Noda Yehuda, he says, am I allowed to go hunting? Because is there an issue of Tzar Balechayim? That's the way he writes the Noda Yehuda. This tshuva, the Noda Yehuda, is very, very famous. Why? Because the Noda Yehuda gets involved in a whole discussion whether it is Tzar Balechayim, it's not Tzar Balechayim, you're not so much bringing about pain to the animals, you're just killing the animals. So almost paradoxically, and this is in fact a halacha, if you kill an animal, there's no issue of Tzar Balechayim. If you bring it pain, that's Tzar Balechayim. And that's the whole discussion in the Noda Yehuda. You're over Tzar Balechayim, you're not Tzar Balechayim, is it Baal Tashis, is it not Baal Tashis? The end of the tshuva he writes as follows. Omnam. Ma'oid amitomo. He says, having said everything I've said, and I've managed to prove that halachically there's nothing other. Ma'oid amitomo. I'm amazed al guf hadov. I'm very, very surprised at the shayla in the first place. And he writes very sharply. V'loi motsinu ish tzayid. In a Torah, who's the hunter? Rak the Nimrod ube Esav. The Ein Zeh Darkei Bnei Avram Yitzchok V'Yakov. Not the way of a Jew. Where does it say it's awesome? Doesn't say it's awesome. But one thing I do know, the only place it says that it was done was with Nimrod and Esav. So basically you're asking me, if I know you do be Huda, please can I live a life of Nimrod and Esav? That wasn't the way he posed the question. What was his question? Is it Tzabal Chaim? Is it Baal Tashchis? Rabbi, by the letter of the law, is it okay what I'm doing? It's fine. You want to live a life of Nimrod and Esav? The Eich Yomis Ish Yisraeli. How could a Jewish person kill Biodayim, Balei Chaim, animals, Blishum Tzeich, without any necessity? You kill it because you want to eat it, you want to use the skin, it's a different question. How does a Jew do that? Now again, the Nozina didn't say it's also because it's Tabal Chaim and it's also because it's Baal Tashis. No, he proved it's Mutter. How does a Jew do something like that? Rak Ligmer Chendas Zmanoi. Because he wants to while away his time. Hobby Lis Asik Batseda. He says, how can that be? And he concludes and he says, Ulachain, Hashemei Ali, if you really want to listen to me, Yishkoin Betach Hashoke Tushan on the Beisei. Stay at home. Lo Ya'abed Zmanoi, don't ruin your time with Zvorim Ke'ela. Now, let's read the words over here. Did the Nerevuda say one word that it's Osir? Of course not, how can he? It's not, it's Mutter. That was the Shaila. The Shaila asked, I want to know one note, one word. Is it Osir or is it Mutter? Says the Nerevuda, it's 100% Mutter. It's not Baal Tashrit, it's not Baal Tabal Chaim. How does an Ish Yisraeli, how can that be? How can that be? You know, he quotes, in fact, you're not supposed to say tischadish when you see somebody buying a new pair of shoes. Seeing a new suit, oh, tischadish, very nice suit. Don't say that with a pair of shoes. Why not? Because where do you get shoes from? From skin. An animal had to die to provide your shoes. So you see that that's our teva. We're rachmanim. Even on an animal. You know, it's perfectly mutan. It's the emes mutan to kill an animal to produce shoes is no problem at all. We don't say it's Chadish. Says in Ezudu, you're going to go out for your spare time to while away your hours by hunting. I know that's Nimrod and Esau's activity. I have no other precedent in the Torah. Ein zeh darkei bnei Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov. Is there anything wrong with it? Nothing right with it. It's not the Jewish way. Can I say Eretz Mitzrayim is inappropriate for Ben Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov to conduct himself in that way? And as we mentioned, that is really the point of contact between the two parashas. Because that leads us directly into Kedoshim. Kedoshim says, don't be a novel Bereshus HaTorah. And within the confines and the letter of the law. Is that the spirit of the law? That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to behave like? Like a Nimrod, like an Esav? That's not being a Kodesh. That's not Kedoshim to you. The truth is, moving on to Parshas Kedoshim, to another Nakuda, but it, in fact it's quite closely related to what we just spoke about. In Parshas Kedoshim, in Perek Chof, Pasuk Chovo, the Torah says as follows. It's the second last Pasuk in all of Parshas Kedoshim. Again, V'yisem li Kedoshim, be Kodesh. V'avdil eschem min ha'amim. There must be a separation between you and the amim. Li yoyis li, to be for me. What does that mean? Says Rashi, very sharp words. Im atem muvdolim mehem. If you are separated from the goyim, then hari atem shali, then you're my nation. ve'im lad. You want to act like the goyim? Hare atem shel, who do you swear allegiance to? Nebuchadnezzar v'chaveyo. And you're not my nation anymore. You want to make that havdalah? Separate yourselves? Then lihi yaisi, then you're my nation. If not, go elsewhere. This past Pesach, the following thought occurred to me. And it's very much based on the pasuk we just read. And it's a yesod that I think we've mentioned in this shiur many, many, many times, and the truth is, you can't mention it enough, because it's so important. We all sat 3 weeks ago, and we drank on Leil HaSeder 4 cups of wine. Why 4 cups of wine? We all know, the Arba L'Shoinais of Geula. Vaitasi, Vaitalti, Vgaalti, Velokasti. And the obvious question is, I understand the number 4. So the 4 cups and the 4 Lashonis, but why cups of wine? Maybe we should have 4 pieces of cake. Non-chomet. Maybe we should say 4 parakim of Tehillim. I understand the 4 and the 4, but why yayin? Why 4 cups of wine? Have 4 cups of water? Have 4 matzahs? 4 pieces of chicken? Where does wine come into it? So we would say simply, no, because yayin is cheiros and it's the drink of malchus. Listen to what the Meshech Chochma says. But I have another question. Good quiz question. You don't have to be embarrassed, I didn't know the answer either. Where in the whole of the Torah does Rashi quote the inyan of Dalad L'Shoinet Shel Geula? So I had no idea. But I looked at my computer, Bar Ilan Project, and I was expecting in Parshas Vaera, which is where the 4 L'Shoinet of Geula are written, I thought Rashi would say something there. It doesn't appear there. In one place it appears. You know where? In Parshas Shlach. The end of Parshas Shlach is talking about tzitzit. And Rashi brings from Ramesha HaDarshan all different types of Ramazim, the connection between tzitzit and all types of wonderful things. And he says, the 4 corners of your tzitzit are keneged the 4 Lashonis of Geula. What's the connection? Yayin, that we suggested, I don't know, maybe it's something to do with Cheiros. What on earth has tzitzit got to do with Geula? So I'd like to suggest the following. By way of introduction, we've mentioned this many, many times, the Beis HaLevi's famous, famous Yesod, it's worth seeing inside at the beginning of Parashat Shemos. And the Beis HaLevi says, I don't understand how to read Tehillim Perek Kufhei. If you open Tehillim Kufhei, the first words are, Hoidu Lashem Kiru Bishmai. Hoidu Hashem, we thank Hashem. So now, how do you expect this parak to continue? Probably, it's going to be full of all the chassadim and all the wonderful things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for us. So if we have to thank Him. So in fact, most of the parak talks about the geula of Mitzrayim. There is a pasuk there that says the following. Hofach libom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned around their hearts. Whose hearts? That of the Egyptians, lisnoi amoi, to hate his nation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns the hearts of Mitzrayim to hate the Jews. 1 second. We're thanking Hashem for this. This is in the Perek, it's introduced by the words, Hoidu Hashem. Thank you Hashem. We thank Hashem that there was a nation of anti-Semites called Mitzrayim. And not only that, it sounds like from the Pasuk, but it was HaKadosh Baruch who instigated it. Hofach Libom. He was the one who turned their hearts, and we're thanking Hashem for that. There's the Beis HaLevi. And Meir Rabbi said, this is Mamish Yesoide Hadas. Every person needs to know this. There's the Beis HaLevi. Let's go back to basics. How did Golos Mitzrayim all begin? He says, you know how it began? There's a medrash that says they covered up their bris milah. The Beis HaLevi proves that halachically they did nothing wrong. They're still mekayim the mitzvah. So the Beis HaLevi, so why did they cover up their bris milah? because we don't want to look different to our wonderful host nation, the Egyptians. We want to look the same as them. Says the Beis HaLevi. And what happens when you want to look like the Goyim? Then you eventually become Goyim. And you come closer and closer to their way of thinking and their culture and their lifestyle, and then you become assimilated and there's no more Jewish nation anymore. At that point, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, 1 second, I'm going to watch Klal Yisrael disappear in front of my eyes. Because I clearly see they want to be like the non-Jews, they want to cover up their bris milah. Says the Beis HaLevi, the most staggering words, L'tevosom shel Yisrael, as a tremendous chesed towards Klal Yisrael, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He plants in the hearts of the Mitzrayim an irrational hatred. Totally irrational. Let's stop and think for a moment. Wouldn't we have expected the more the Jews try and be like Mitzrayim, the more they would love them? Oh, a wonderful, loyal, patriotic nation they are. They want to be like us as well. So logically, rationally, what would you expect? They should love the Jews. What happens? You open up Parshas Shemos. Says Paro, oh, I'm very worried. Why worried? Because what happens if there's a nation that wages war against us? Against Mitzrayim? Do you know Mitzrayim was the super dominant nation, the superpower of the world? Nobody waged war against Mitzrayim. Says Paro, I'm very worried that maybe somebody will wage war against us. Highly unlikely. In fact, probably impossible. Okay. And then worried, says the Pasuk, that maybe Klal Yisrael will join forces with who? With the enemy. Why should they do that? And then worried that the nation who comes and fights us will actually be victorious. Impossible. And I'm then worried that the Jews will drive us out of Mitzrayim. 4 or 5 maybes. That's called rational pretext for anti-Semitism. On that basis, we're going to enslave the Jews. Does that make any sense? These are the Jews that are covering up their bris milah. They love you. They want to be like you. The last thing they would want to do, not that it would ever happen that any nation would want to fight against you, but if it would happen, the last thing they would do is join forces with the enemy and try and drive you out of the land. You see how much they want to be like you. Does that make sense? The answer is no, it makes no sense. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pulling the strings. Hofach libo lisnoi la'amoi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if I don't create this irrational hatred, then this is only going in one direction. We'll cover up the bris milah, and tomorrow we'll not keep bris milah, and the next day we'll not keep Shabbos, and the next day, in fact, we'll marry the Mitzrayim, and that will be game over. No more Jewish nation. Such that anti-Semitism, as painful as it is, and we have suffered from it all the doyos, is the greatest chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done towards Klal Yisrael. That, ultimately, has been the preservation of Klal Yisrael. Somebody told me there's a book written by 2 American very famous writers and speakers called Why the Jews? Written by somebody called Dennis Prager and Tolushkin. Et Chatoai Ani Mazkir Hayoim. I once heard about this book, I've never seen the book. I went to Binyamin Feilich's house, and that story a few years ago, so do me a favor. Can you just Google Dennis Prager and
Joseph
Tolushkin? Find out who are they, what, they're definitely Jews, but so one of them writes clearly on his website, he's a very proud driver to shul on Shabbos morning. The other one writes about how he's not so pro-orthodoxy, doesn't really hold of the values. So clearly we're talking about writers who are not from our tzibbur. And apparently, I've heard, I haven't read the book which is called Why the Jews, is coming to answer that very question. Why the Jews? Why have we always been the subject of persecution and torture? And they come up with a whole theory that basically the more religious the nation, the more that really rubs up the non-Jews the wrong way, and that brings about anti-Semitism. What is the Beis HaLevi telling us? The exact opposite. The less religious they are, the more you become like the goyim, that's where there's anti-Semitism. One second, one-on-one, this doesn't add up, it doesn't make sense. You're right, it doesn't make sense. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pulling the strings. Hofach libom lisnoi la'am. HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned around the nation of Mitzrim. They were going to love Klal Yisrael. They had all the reason to love Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, they want to be like you. Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. Hoidu Lashem kiru b'shmoy. That indeed is what we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for preserving Klal Yisrael. How so? In a very painful way, but it's our fault. Because we wanted to be like the goyim. History has proved this time and time and time and time again. Everybody knows, 1492, the Spanish expulsion, followed which period? The golden age of Spanish Jewry. The golden age of prosperity and development. The golden age of Spanish Jewry meant that Spanish Jewry was going to be assimilated and disappear, so there was an expulsion. And in the 1930s and 1940s, when Jews were living comfortably in that cutting edge of fashion and culture and dignified nation of Germany. And then, the rest is history. That's always been our story. Always been our story. We've quoted in the past the chilling words. There's no other way to describe it. Rav Meir Simcha of Dvinsk, the Ostermeich, writes in the 1920s, 20 years before World War II broke out, Poshet Divrei Nevius, right, like a prophet, he describes there the cycle of events that has always been our history. Good times for Jews, and then there's assimilation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings about Tzoras. He says, when you get too comfortable in Golos, you're too comfortable. I'm not lacking anything. I love my non-Jewish host nation. And then he writes the famous, famous, spine-tingling words, and he says, there are those Yachshayv who think that Berlin he Yerushalayim. Berlin is Yerushalayim. What are we lacking? What a wonderful host nation we have. Cultured, upper-class, dignified goyim. They're role models for us. We want to be like them. Those who think that Berlin he Yerushalayim. And he wrote this 20 years before all the lights were turned off in Berlin. And it was proven once and forever that Berlin is not Yerushalayim. This has always been our story. Says the Meshech Chochmah in Parshas Va'era. That's the idea of the four cups of wine. Klal Yisrael, in various periods of our history, have been running danger of getting too close for comfort to the goyim. So came along Chazal and they made gezeiros. Which gezeiros did they make? Don't drink yayin akum. We don't drink wine belonging to a goy. Remember Haman's complaint? Haman comes to Achashverosh. He says, you know, this nation, if a fly falls in the wine, they're not in the least bit fussed. They take the fly out and they drink the wine. But if a non-Jew touches the wine, they don't drink it. Well done, Haman. On the mark. Why did Chazal be gezer? Why did they make a decree, don't drink non-Jewish wine? Says the Gemara, because they were worried that we would assimilate into their nation. It's a chasmus. Says the Meshech Chochmah, when we want to celebrate the Arba Lashonos of Geula. Why did we deserve Geula? Because eventually we learned our lesson that we must keep separate from the goyim. And how is that manifest? We take a cup of wine. Four cups of wine. The wine denotes to us and reminds us these are two separate nations. Mind the gap. That's what wine tells us. No, we don't have four cups of water or four pieces of chicken. We take the very drink that Chazal chose to be the point of non-contact between Klal Yisrael and the Goyim. That's why. And some have said so beautifully, we lift up that cup of wine and we say, V'hi she'omda. This cup of wine is what has held us in all the generations. Lo yachod bilvad omad l'chal yisrael. They've tried to ruin us all the nations. And what has kept us going? This cup of wine has kept us going. What do you mean this cup of wine? Because it was this cup of wine that kept us separate from the Goyim. And that's why we're still here today. That's what the Meshech Chochma says. He doesn't quote the Beis HaLevi. But in light of the words of the Beis HaLevi, we understand what the Meshech Chochma means. If the whole Golus in Mitzrayim began, how so? We covered up the Mila, we want to be like the Goyim, we want to get very, very close to them. That's how you got into Golus. So how did you get out of Golus and Geula? With that wine. That you say, no, we don't want to be like the Goyim after all. We want to be separate for the Goyim. Chazal made Gezeiros to keep us separate for the Goyim. That's how we celebrate on Leil Pesach. In conclusion, we said that Rashi tells us that tzitzis, the four corners of tzitzis, is also keneged Dala Shemes of Gula. So this year, I had a gift. A gift min HaShemayim. We all said in the Seder night that Klal Yisrael were there in Mitzrayim. We all said in the Haggadah, Melamed, Shehoyu Mitzuyonim Shom. What does Mitzuyonim mean? Klal Yisrael stood out in Mitzrayim. What was the gift? I saw a Ritva. The Ritva on the Pirish of Haggadah says, what does it mean, Mitzuyonim? How do they stand out? Mitzuyonim Mitzuyetzes. They were wearing tzitzis. That's how Klal Yisrael stood out in Mitzrayim. We know, Chazal tell us, they never changed their dress, their names, their language. The Ritva says, Mitzuyonim Mitzuyetzes. They were wearing tzitzis. So once I saw that Ritva, I understood Rashi. Tzitzis is how we stood out. Apart from the Mitzrayim. That's where there was this Havdalah. The Rashi says, the four corners of the Tzitzis, that's Keneged, the four Lashonos of Geula. How do you get stuck into Golus in the first place? Because you wanted to be like the Goyim. So how are you Zeicha to Geula? With the Koyach of the Yayin and the Koyach of Tzitzis. No. We are different to the Goyim. And we stand apart from the Goyim. What we eat, and what we drink, and what we wear, we are different in every single way to the Goyim. And that really brings us to a full circle, because that's how we began. K'maisei Eretz Mitzrayim. We don't want to be like the Goyim in any which way whatsoever. And that's been our painful story. In all generations, we get too close, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to bring us apart. How so? Hofach libom lisnoi la'ana. And that's the prophet that we mentioned. Vo'avdil eschem mino amin. If there is this separation between Goyim and Yidden, lihi yoisli, then you can be my nation. If not, you can be Nebuchadnezzar, you can be the Chaverov, there's nothing to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu anymore. And on occasion, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to take us by the scruff of the neck, and he says, if you're not going to make that Havdalah yourself, then I'm going to ram it down your throat. I'm going to throw you into Golos. Whether it be in Mitzrayim or all the other painful Golos that we've had to endure. And ultimately, through the pain and the tears, we will thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we will say, Hoidu Lashem Kiru Vishmoy, we'll thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You thank Him for Hofach Ribom Lisnoi La'amoy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are the one who turned around their nation, their heart, and you planted in them irrational hatred. It wasn't fun at all. But ultimately that preserved us. That brought about the Havdalah. As Reb Chaim Volozhin once said, turn a phrase. Make sure, he said, that you make kiddush. You makadish yourself. Because if not, the Kadosh Baruch Hu will make Havdalah. There always has to be this gap. We don't want to live like non-Jews. We don't go hunting. And we don't go to non-drug-taking concerts. We don't have anything to do with the goyim in any which way whatsoever. And when we don't learn that lesson, then we get thrown into Mitzrayim. When we learn the lesson of Yayin, that keeps us apart, or Mitzuyonin, Mitzuyeset, the four corners of the tzitzis, that even the way we dress, we want to stand apart. We don't want to look like you, we don't want to dress like you, in fact, we don't want to be like you in any which way whatsoever. Then you have every right to celebrate on Leil Pesach the fall of Shemesh of the Lord.